I thought that was going over the top. I thought it was all sort of, you know, fairyland. But after finding out what's been going on down here, it makes a longer Friday look like a story out of Winnie the Pooh.
Well, what is going on?
Well, that, for example, look at that. Lovely great Mars bar on the Thames.
But it's sold off, it's not actually.
It's a Mars bar. But there's £1,200 million worth of redevelopment going on right the way down the river. The whole lot.
Where? You imagine that. The whole thing's up for grabs.
Makes a 60s sort of redevelopment epidemic look like a little rash. You see that building there?
Yeah.
Now, between there and here, there's going to be a complete great block of offices that's going to go up in between us. And that's just a fraction of the mile-long slab of buildings that will change the face of Waterloo and the river there, if the developer, Great Coat Commercial Estates, gets their way. But the people who live in the area known as Coin Street have already put forward their own plan. And after a year-long public inquiry, Michael Esseltine has got to choose which one to go for. It's another battle of Waterloo, only this time it's between the big guys in their office blocks and the little guys fighting for what's left of their community.
Hello and welcome back to the show. I say that as though you just left. Perhaps this is your first time ever. Kind of find that hard to believe, though, I mean. Put myself out there for you people, and kind of hurts my feelings to think this is the first time you've listened to the Shack and Mike Costello show. I, of course, am the Shack and Mike Costello that is referred to in the title of this podcast. And, that's basically all you need to know. Other than you're about to hear a very exciting episode where I talk to none other than our good friend and international music superstar, Gaz Reynolds. And, we break it down in a way that, well, let's just take a listen. Well, here we go. We'll start right now.
Whoa.
Zach.
Well, Mike, thanks for having me back on the show.
Hey, thanks for being back on the show. I was real excited, and I'm a shy person, so I never know when to say, hey, come on back on the show, because I don't want people going, oh, man, this Mike's really pushing it.
Well, I'm definitely not shy.
Yeah, good, it'll balance.
I always wanted to come back, because we did an interview, I think, last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was now.
Yeah.
It was, it was probably just before Christmas.
It was.
Maybe the summertime. Yeah. And I remember I'd been quite ill then. I was in and out of hospital, but I'd released two new records, I think. And I managed to, despite having health problems this year, I managed to get two new records out this year, which are doing really well.
Nice.
And you're going to be playing them on your show today.
I am.
Aren't you, Mike?
I am, for sure. That was a done deal. I would have played them a bunch of times. Yeah, I put it before the show, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you always said you'd have me back, and I released this new record called Alien. That came out a few months ago, but I hooked up with this producer. He's actually on TikTok, called Paul Grint. He actually approached me and he said, I really like your track Alien, and he said, would you mind if I remix it? So I'm always a bit worried when I get other producers contacting me asking if they can remix my tracks, because quite often they don't come out too great. It's not always the case. But he's great, he's brilliant. And so now there's going to be six new mixes of Alien. Some people are saying we're going overboard, but we're not, I don't think. because we're doing all different styles. So there's a trance style, and there's all kinds of styles coming out. But you can stream all those songs on Spotify and all the major platforms. And then just recently, I've just released Borrow Time, which is my new record. And did you want me to tell you the story about that?
Do I want you to tell me the story about it? Well, it's funny because I listened to them both, and yes, that song is funny. I gotta say, when I first heard the tracks, when I first heard The Alien, I thought, wow, this is kind of, it starts out with all the trippy sounds, trippy music. I thought, wow, this is like really almost like, I don't know, like ambient sort of. It was mellow beat, but then it kicks in. So I'd love to. Remixes of that would be real
and
fun.
It's quite different from what I usually do as well. So.
That's just what I mean. Yeah. And then of course, but then Borrow Time. Yes, that's a song. I was curious about that because Borrow Time. Yeah. What about that one?
Well,
it sounds kind of deep.
Well, Borrow Time.
This isn't. Fluff, this isn't bubblegum, this is deep stuff.
Well, Alien's about my estranged wife because she alienated herself from me, so I decided to write a song about it. That's proved to be very popular, but Borrow Time seems to be more popular. It's a very different style, and I actually decided to put a rapper on this track as well, so I hired a rapper, and he actually did a great job. And but the story behind the song is last year I was diagnosed with heart failure, which is really a terminal illness. But there's no date when you're going to expire, as it were. So I might live another 20 years, I might live another 2 minutes. Let's hope I don't die on your show, Mike.
Well, no, you're not going to. I'll see to that. Don't
you'll
worry.
Have to interview nobody.
Exactly. No, I'm doing everything I can. Don't you worry.
Yeah, to keep me alive.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yes. Well, anyway, I was rushed into hospital, and I was very close to death last year, and I just released a record, funnily enough, just then, called I Want to Be Free. So I wondered if I was going to be free from life at that point. Anyway, but this doctor, she said, the reason why you're very scared is because you're on borrowed time. You know that you're going to die. Well, so it stayed in my mind. She didn't have a very good bedside manner. But luckily, I found another really good doctor in there, and she helped me out, got me on all the right therapies. And so I made good progress, and luckily I'm here today. And so I was able to write this song, Borrow Time, because you got me thinking, that's a good title for a song. Yes, I'm on borrowed time, but aren't we all? Everybody on the planet's on borrowed time because we're all dying, aren't we? We don't think of it that way, but we are. Mm-hmm. Every day we live, we're a day closer to our death. And then if you look at all the craziness that's going on the planet at the moment, all these wars all around the world, I mean, it does look like World War III is coming. And then you've got all this climate change going on all around the world. It makes you wonder how we're still here. I always wonder how I'm still here with all the weird things that happened to me. So that's how Borrow Time came about. And that came out on the 16th of April this year. And it's doing really good. And so it's generating a lot of interest. And I was supposed to do, we're talking about Borrow Time. I was actually supposed to do an interview a couple of weeks ago with a podcaster who's been a big, big advocate of my music since 2004. I mean, I can't believe every single week on his show, he was playing one of my tracks. And when Alien came out a few months back, he actually approached me and he said, "Hey, Gaz, I don't know if you remember me." And strangely enough, I did. But the last time I spoke to him was 2004, but I still remembered him. And he said, "Well, I've always played your tracks every week on my show, but I'd like to play your new track, Alien." And he also said, "When Borrow Time comes out, I'd like that as well." And so he played the track, and then his listeners, he's got a show where they can call in and sort of vote for their favourite tracks. And so he got playlists in, so it was added on to the playlist for every week for, I think, 9 weeks. And so it was getting a lot of interest, and But anyway, the strange thing was, he actually told me, he said, he's on borrowed time. I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, I've got vascular dementia. And I went, oh my God, because I knew, I've known people, even Bruce Willis has got vascular dementia, and it usually means you've only got a year left to live. You know, there's no cure for that. Like, there's no cure for what I've got. There's only my crazy light went off there. there's no cure for what I've got. There's only medication that you can take. But anyway, I was supposed to do an interview with on this show with this podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I spoke to him the day before arranging the interview. Yeah. And then sadly overnight, really strange, he died, and that was very, very sad. Wow. So he was a very nice guy. I used to talk to him every day online. That's so
crazy. Well, yeah. Borrowed time. I mean, I guess
we're all on borrowed time, Mike.
We are all on borrowed time, and you know, that's, yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, you could say it's kind of is a bit of a it's a serious kind of grim thought. But the fact of the matter is we all are, and we should all appreciate, and not to be all cheesy about it, but, you know, put it this way. People, when you're on borrowed time, I would think you appreciate life maybe a little better than people that think they're going to live forever. And,
well, exactly. We don't really think about these things, do we? It's not me. Thinking about things because, like I said, you know, I've had health problems, quite a lot of them actually, over the last 8 years, and so that's really why I'm putting out so much content now. I mean, I feel my songwriting's got better as well, and I'm really excited to release records at the moment, and so I'm releasing lots, and but I want to leave something behind if I'm not here. So if after your interview I expire, and this is our last ever interview, Mike.
No.
hang on, I'm gonna video you for TikTok.
Sure, see you. No, I'll.
I'm live on air.
Yeah.
I'm live on air with Mike on your show. Do you want to give it a quick plug, Mike?
Hey, Doug, listen to the Shack of Mike Hassler show and hear Gaz talk about how he's going to be on the show forever, so that we won't have to.
Yeah, I'm going to be on.
I'll book you that I'm way. Never you gonna have die. To show up. Can't cancel on me.
I'm never going to die. I'm going to live forever.
Exactly. Well, as long as I do.
Ever and ever.
So.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But who knows how long that'll be?
But yeah. Well, we're talking about borrowed time, but we are all on borrowed time, and well, I guess we're on limited time on your show. There you go.
Tick tock goes the clock on the wall. Tick tock and it can all be gone. Tick tock goes the clock on the wall. Tick tock and it can all be gone.
God is a witness to judge our souls. We fight for freedom, then we have to let go. Angels above us hear our prayers, but down below us nobody cares. We are all brothers from the same land, divided by greed to gain the upper.
We're living on borrowed time.
First thing first, gotta get it on my chest. Rise above all freedom, the quest, living on borrowed time, but we ain't got much left. So step to the plate and then give them your best at the end of the day. Time ain't never on no side. So all we can do now, we pray for some peace of mind.
Borrow time, though, we are on borrow time. Make it count. Don't just be sitting around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mike, where can your listeners get Borrow Time, my new record, from?
Oh, everywhere.
Exactly.
Just go listen to
Spotify.
It. Spotify. You should have
them. Get down to Spotify.
Spotify.
That's how you get me in the charts.
Well, I was going to say, you should have, I like to have a mix of your stuff going in a lot, all times. Especially.
Thank you.
No, it's always
good.
I gotta say, I don't know if I said it last time, but I did have it like playing somewhere. My girlfriend came on, and my girlfriend, and she's
Yeah,
she's a huge music snob, and she was all into it. So I was like, wow, that's a saying something.
Oh, that's. Well, you've just become a TikTok star, Mike.
Oh, hey, thank you. Well, I knew this day would come, but I'm not going to let it affect me.
Don't get too vain.
I'm going to stay the same person I always was.
My
same horrible person.
Oh, yeah, you're terrible.
Well, I try.
I'll put that on TikTok.
Nice.
Cool.
I got to get my...
Yeah, so...
Perfect, thanks. Good. Well, yeah, see, that's good. So you're doing a lot. That's still going good, too, eh? Still doing a lot of, getting a lot of that. Yeah, still things are going
well
good.
I'm planning to put
a
new album out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to put a new album out this year as well. In fact, two albums. There's going to be a remix album as well. So
ooh.
I'm looking forward to doing that. And fingers crossed, it will all go good.
Yeah. So
and I'll be here for your third time.
Exactly. Well, no, that's always good. It's fun that you can, it's good that you keep doing, the thing you said about how you want to make as much music as you can and how you're kind of doing it so much. That's great.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like such a nice aspect of the modern music world. You know, you can have sort of your creative flow and just let it go. You don't have to.
I've been experimenting with my sound a lot as well now. So, last year I did a house track, I did a sort of pop rock track, because every so often, because I quite like rock, especially if it's mixed into pop, so I can't say I actually listen to heavy metal or hard rock tracks, but I do like a bit of rock guitar in a pop track, if that makes sense. So sometimes I've incorporated sort of a rock sound into my music. This year I'd say I'm very more electronic, because I was always influenced by all those 80s bands like Depeche Mode. Pet Shop Boys were one of my favorites. Pete Burns from Dead or Alive, he used to be a good friend of mine, but he passed away. So I was always into all the 80s music, but I thought I need to move on from that now, because so many people were saying your music reminds me of 80s music. So I thought I need to move on and start experimenting with new sounds and bring the whole sound up to date. It's okay having an 80s influence still in there, which I would say I have in all my tracks. But also I've tried to make it more mainstream commercial music.
Yeah.
And really, I'm making music for myself. I don't make it for others. I make it because I enjoy it. And if people buy it, that's great. If I get on shows like your show or other shows if I get airplay, or a lot of people want to see me live now, so hopefully I'll be doing some live shows. That's an added bonus for me, really. But I just look at this as being something you enjoy isn't a job, is it? It's a hobby or something you just love. So to me, this is something that some people say it's your career, or one of my careers. For me, I just say it's something I love doing.
Yeah, it's great. And it's nice too, because like what you're describing, that's something I kind of feel, I don't know, sometimes gets taken out of music, because I like listening to, you could hear, I'm trying to pick somebody.
Well, The Cure are a good band.
Cure, good band. Yeah, so that's a great example. Like, you listen to the first stuff they did, and they're very early tracks, and they didn't just stay doing it. Like, it's nice to hear a band progress, I guess, or hear people grow. And that's one of those things where, like you're describing, getting to do.
Well, it's like I was always a big fan of Depeche Mode, and if you listen to their early tracks, and then you listen to what they're doing now, which is, I suppose, more commercialized, probably their earlier tracks were better in some ways, because they were more raw.
Yeah.
But also, what I like about these artists that have been around, because if you look at the music industry, there's a lot of, particularly UK artists, I'd say, like Bowie, he was around for a long time, Elton John, the Pet Shop Boys, the Depeche Mode, The Cure, they're just, like, some of them, sort of 40, 50, 60 year careers. And you can hear their sound develop. I mean, look at the Beatles, you know, they just had another big hit out. Really, that wasn't really a Beatles record. That was more of an Elton, sort of a John Lennon record with Paul McCartney influencing it into a Beatles track, if that makes sense. Because it was more of a selling point, I suppose. But you know, I mean, you look at these bands and you sort of think, or these artists, you sort of think, wow, they've been around for such a long time, and they just started off writing tracks like I did in my bedroom. I still write songs in my bedroom now, but quite often most of my songs seem to happen in the car these days. I'll be driving somewhere and suddenly I'll get a tune in my head, and then I pull over, I'll start writing the lyrics down, or I'll write them into my phone, or I'll hum the tune in or the melody or whatever, and then when I get home I'll develop that song. But most of my songs actually take about half an hour to write now. Alien took half an hour. Borrowed Time took half an hour. There was a track that I released last year called I Want to Be Free, which me personally I think is a very underrated song. A lot of people don't know that track, probably because it's a little bit different from what I normally do. But that took half an hour to write. I actually had COVID at the time, and then after I wrote that track, I remember I was in hospital the day after. So you look at all these artists and you kind of think, wow, they've had such long careers, and a lot of them don't even do it for the music, for the money anymore, because they don't need it. They just do it for the passion.
Yeah.
You know, they love what they do, you know.
And it's crazy too, because if it took them a half hour to write the songs, you could think, like, David Bowie basically did like 2 hours of work, and he's got a whole, lifetime. Well, maybe 3 hours.
Exactly, and he's always going to be a major influence on the pop industry, probably, certainly in the Western world.
Yeah.
I would say certainly in America and UK, possibly Canada and Australia. I don't know,
but I'm sure.
You know, and he even crossed over and worked with one of my favourite electronic bands, which was the Pet Shop Boys. You know, he did Space Boy.
That's right.
And that was one of my favourite tracks of his. Yeah, he did some great stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
Boy George, who I've met, I don't particularly like him. He's not a particularly nice person, but his whole career was based on David Bowie. You know, he wanted to be David Bowie. So there were so many artists influenced by Bowie. And I can't really say Bowie was a great influence on my music. Mine was definitely more, well, Elvis I started off with. Elvis, and that's who I grew up on. And, you know, Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just got really, I don't know, when the 80s came along, I just suddenly became an electronic fan, you know. But yeah. I liked rock music as well. And so quite often I crossed in a lot of my tracks, like a track that I released a couple of years back called Bitches. There's a crossover with rock and pop, you know. And you're a fan of Bitches, aren't you?
Oh, well, yeah. I know that one well. Yeah, that's good. That's just it. It's I think that's what keeps like music fresh and like music like yours, when you have such a wide catalog and you can, like we're talking about growing and stuff. It's like you can't be just stuck
to one thing. And that's, people don't realise I've been releasing records since 1992.
Wow.
So I think the first record I actually released was when I was 17.
Wow.
And I'm going to record this.
Okay,
I'm going to record this.
I'm ready.
I'm going to put it on TikTok. Because we are on a podcast show now with Mike, and I'm videoing this bit for TikTok. I was just saying, people don't realise that that I've been releasing records since the age of 17. I think that's 1992, and those early records, they were a bit raw around the edges. I was listening to some of them the other day and I was laughing at them, but they still had a melody and a tune, and it was and how I look at it is I've developed into a much better artist now. I think I'm writing better songs now. I'm 55 now, and some people say, oh, you're too old to be doing pop music, but I don't think you're ever too old to be doing what you really love doing.
No, never. Plus, if you know how to do it right.
And well, look, Mike, you're doing your podcast show, broadcasting around the world.
Exactly.
Everybody should be doing what they love doing.
Yeah, and the thing is if you're an artist, if you get the creative juices flowing, it doesn't matter, like age and that kind of stuff, I guess. I mean, it might for like commercial stuff, but stuff that matters and stuff that, reaches the public, that's
what's
important.
The thing is, more and more artists these days are becoming independent artists. They're breaking away from, well, in fact, record labels generally are not signing artists anymore because it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't want to pay for music. They get these, what do they call them? My brain's gone. Where they're signing up to Spotify and Apple Music.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember when digital music came in, the only store that was around at the time was iTunes.
That's right.
I don't even know what iTunes is anymore. I'm completely confused.
I think they got rid of it.
You know, because it's all... Did they? Well, there's Apple Music.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like Spotify, but I think Spotify is like the place to go for your music these days.
Yeah.
But the problem is all the artists are getting ripped off and Spotify is not making any money. They're losing probably, I would say, millions or billions every year. And so they're trying to find new ways to make money. And the way that everybody's doing making money these days is they're charging the artists. So Spotify... they've got these advertising campaigns. So if you bring a new record out, you can advertise it on Spotify. I actually haven't done it. I might actually try it on my next record just to see if it makes a big difference.
Mm.
But, you know, they're kind of just trying to guarantee that they make money. When what they should be doing is really pushing the artists forward and encouraging people to stream their music or download it. In fact, nobody wants to download anymore. They just want to stream. But there is this comeback in the music industry now where, I don't know if you remember Bananarama, because I'm friends with Bananarama.
I love Bananarama.
They're the 80s girl band, yeah. But they're still around. And they've just released a sort of a kind of greatest hits album. And so they brought it out in all of the formats, including cassette. So they got cassette, vinyl, CD. Not many people are going to buy that sort of stuff. Only diehard fans are going to buy it. Because most people these days are streaming music. They listen to it on YouTube or Spotify, and that's it. In fact, if I never buy any music now, and I used to, well, I've still got a huge CD collection, but CDs, nobody buys anymore. You know, no one buys them. No. Like, no one buys DVDs.
I was just going to say that,
yeah. You know, yeah. Well, I've got a huge DVD collection as well, probably something like 10,000 DVDs I've got. I used to be an avid movie collector. But now, if I want to watch a film, I just go online and watch it. But nobody goes to the cinema. No. I'm surprised they're still running.
Yeah, that's going away for sure.
Yeah. But then you look at all these movies that are coming back, like, you know, Predator. So, do you remember Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, I remember. Well, now they've got Predator. All about that, yeah.
Yeah, well, they've got Predator 6 with Arnold Schwarzenegger again.
Oh, is that coming out?
So he's back in the new
one. Really?
Yeah. But they've got 3 Predator films coming out this year, which I find crazy. But it just shows you how popular all the 80s stuff was. Because there's Prey 2, there's Predator versus Alien coming out, and then they've got Predator 6 with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, but yeah, but again, it's all going to be streamed, isn't it? It's not going to be watched in the cinema.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's funny that they don't want to put a movie called Alien Hunter or something like that and just take a chance on writing an original story, because...
Yeah.
If they call it Predator, they can do that. But if they call it Predator, they're guaranteed. I don't know. That's something that kind of bothers me. No one takes chances anymore.
No. And that's what the record industry are doing. They're not taking chances.
Yeah.
Going back in the 80s and 90s, you know, they were signing acts like Robbie Williams, Blur, The Cure in the 80s. And all these artists, they weren't exactly what you could call necessarily pretty boys, you know. They had attitude, and attitude cost record labels money, but it also made them money, and that's what they forget. So all those acts, like The Cure, they're still touring. Probably Robbie Williams is still touring, I don't know. So they'll all make money, but they're not releasing records anymore because the record labels won't invest in them. You know, they won't make any money from their sales. They'll probably still sell. They'll still sell, but they won't get the charts like they used to. So they're not going to make the kind of money that they used to make. So that's why a lot of artists now, I think, like myself, I did get signed to a label years ago. I think it was Florida. Oh, and there was another one, I think. Where are you, Mike?
America.
Or do you? I know you're in America.
I'm in America. Midwest, Detroit area. Right now I'm in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So I'm kind of in Canada.
Yeah, Michigan. I did actually sign. I signed a deal over in Michigan years ago, but I actually got out of that because I didn't think they were any good at all. So so I just carried on being an independent artist, and that's what I like, because I'm totally in control of making my videos, release dates, what the cover looks like, how the track sounds. You know, I'm in charge of everything, and I get all the royalties. Nobody gets any royalties on me.
That's one of the best parts about it. It's funny, it seems like music just as a whole, if you think about it from the dawn of time, it started out as probably a folk music. I mean, granted, you had your Mozarts and all that, but you had people making music, sitting around strumming a ukulele or something. And it wasn't until, 100 years ago that they really started thinking, oh, we could make a record and sell it and make a dollar a song, or I guess with sheet music. But point being, it's funny because it's kind of gone to what it is. You got to your 70s era, Led Zeppelin on their own Learjet.
And everyone was buying records.
Exactly. And now
they all have record players.
Yeah, but now,
it's all gone digital. See, yeah. So it killed off the industry.
Yeah. So,
but the only way to make really serious money now is either online or more likely, you know, touring.
Yeah.
If you can get a tour.
That's just.
But tours are expensive.
That's expensive.
That's why you don't see Madonna touring now.
Yeah.
You don't see Madonna touring.
She did tour. She was here a few months ago. But
yeah, in the US, but yes. Not a worldwide tour.
Oh yeah.
Worldwide tours don't happen.
Yeah.
No. I don't think anyone can.
Yeah.
Apart from Depeche Mode, that I know of. And probably Led Zeppelin. They could probably do it.
But I don't know if they could. Yeah, it's funny. That's just it. But even then, you wonder. I wonder if they. I guess they probably would. It's strange.
Well, I was watching a documentary on Phil Collins the other day, which actually there was a whole load of stuff I didn't know about him, that he'd been married multiple times and that he wasn't a particularly nice person. And then I think he was an alcoholic as well. That's why he's in a wheelchair now. But he still performs, still goes out doing live shows, but he has to come on stage in a wheelchair, which I thought was sad. You know, when you saw, I remember him being this quite sexy guy, standing on stage singing and performing all those big hits.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was never a fan of his, but I just thought, and then, you know, he had all these problems with alcohol, and then later on he's got really bad health, but he's still out there performing, he's still doing his shows. And I thought, wow, he obviously loves music, even though he's a very wealthy man.
I find that seems, I guess, that's so surprising to me. I guess I would think he'd wanna, but yeah, he must really love doing it. He has been doing it forever.
So I think all artists, really, it's in your blood. It's in my blood. I'll never stop.
That's just it.
Records.
Well, I think that's for the real artists, because sometimes I do question. I don't know. Like, I don't know if, and I know people love him and all that, but I don't know. Well, I guess. I was going to say, I don't know if Puff Daddy would be making music if he didn't make money, but now he's not doing anything. He's hiding out from the government.
Yeah, but Snoop Dogg still puts records out.
That's
and
true.
Actually, a good example, do you know, a good example of Snoop Dogg was in the press the other day because he was complaining about how he earned $30,000, so $30,000 from 1 billion streams. And, you know, Snoop Dogg's a very wealthy guy.
Yes.
And so for him to earn $30,000, he said he can spend $30,000 on his breakfast.
Yes.
So for the average artist like me, we'd be going, oh, $30,000, that's great. But when you look at 1 billion streams, you sort of think, who's getting all the money? Spotify is.
Oh, yeah.
They're only giving a very small fraction of the money to the artist. And that's where it's all wrong. So if they're going to do streaming and downloads, then they need to sign up with the artist, because they need, it's rather like TikTok. TikTok do the same. You know, they monetize videos. In fact, I just had a viral video last Saturday. I've had viral videos before, but never, I've always wanted one to go to 1 million. I always got close to 1 million, but never actually hit 1 million. And last Saturday, in 2 days, one of my videos hit 1.2 million views.
Wow.
That's pretty exciting.
That is.
So, of course, my streams and everything, the interest in my music suddenly went up. And but the point is, I'll probably make about, I'm guessing, about £1,000 from that video.
Wow.
And the rest of it's going to go to TikTok. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just crazy.
Some people might say, oh, you know, 4 seconds work, I made a grand. Because it only took me 4 seconds to make that video. So I could say, well, you know, a grand for 4 seconds, well, that's good. But then they're probably making, I don't know, I'm just guessing, $5,000 out of it.
Yeah, and they're doing no work. And
they're doing nothing.
Yeah, that's what's so strange. There's no way. Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder how that could go. I know that's, I've heard that from multiple people, and I understand it works. I mean, yeah, that's just part of it. What could, I don't know. It's really tough. It's kind of tough to.
It's really been weird.
Yeah. You couldn't do it where, I guess you could, because that's the thing. People don't go to, you could say, here's my website. Come to my website and only listen to it here. And even though it'll cost a dollar or, you know, $10 a month, I'll get all the $10, but they're not going to want to. Yeah, people are
well, late. It's interesting you're saying that, because a lot of artists now, they're advertising on even TikTok. I've seen it happening. There's an artist that I'm sort of friends with, not really close friends, but I'm at the point where I can talk to her and stuff. She's a signed artist, but even her sales, they won't be that high, because I've looked on Spotify, and if she gets a million sales or streams on a track, that's probably £1,000, I reckon, or £2,000, £3,000, so maybe a bit more. But she'll only get probably £500 out of that, because the record label's got to take their money back and cost of the video and everything. But anyway, now they've got her on TikTok advertising her tracks, and to go and buy them directly from her site. So they're selling the streams, but they've also started bringing back, she's got vinyl, she's got CD, because the hardcore fans, they will buy that. Even if they don't play it, they'll buy it because they want it as like a collector's, you know, memorabilia type thing. So I've noticed that there is a lot of that going on now, where there's a push for the artists to be more kind of, hey, you've got to be on TikTok. We're not going to give you a video. You've just got to promote yourself on TikTok and then get people off of TikTok onto your site.
funny. It's almost similar to what's happening in the film industry now, where every movie is a Barbie or a Spider-Man or something like that. You couldn't make a movie like Taxi Driver. It's just a guy in a dingy apartment living life.
Yeah, exactly.
And but now the movie industry is sort of going through that. The thing the music industry was going through, you know, 10, 20 years ago, where nobody's going to movies anymore.
No, and you're talking about Spider-Man. You just reminded me. They've got 3 new Spider-Man films coming out. So they've got one with Tom Holland in. Then they've got one with, oh God, I forgot his name, Tobey Maguire.
Oh, that's right.
Is it? Yeah. Who I thought was the best Spider-Man. And then they've got that other guy, who I can't remember his name. But they've all got new Spider-Man films coming out. So it's kind of like, well, what they're trying to do is rather like me with remixes of the same track. Someone said to me the other day, why do you want 6 remixes or 8 remixes of the same song? It's because if you've got a popular track, some people might not like the actual style that they've heard, but they might like it in a different style. And also different countries like different types of music, and my music sells literally around the world. I was looking at my sales the other day, and I've got Malaysia, Thailand, America. America's one of my big markets, UK. And it was quite interesting to see, you know, there's countries I'd never been heard of before. And so I thought, wow, there must be. But I think it's because I appear on these podcasts and radio stations. And so people were tuning in. We don't know who's listening to this, you know.
Exactly. Well, so, I'll tell you, whoever is listening to this better immediately go and download, you know. Well, 2 million better, downloads. We'll get 2 million downloads, we'll get $20 for it.
So. Well,
that's a good point, though. It's funny because
anyone who's tuned into this show now,
yes,
they better head over to Spotify and stream my tracks right now.
Exactly.
Because I need to become rich.
Exactly.
And Mike wants to become rich as well.
I want to become rich too. And I just want to kind of know really rich people.
2 million. You want 2 million listeners per hour.
2 million listeners by the end of the week.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's good. No, but you say the thing you're saying.
In a minute.
Exactly. But it's...
Look, if anyone doesn't buy... Anyone listening to this show now, if they don't go and stream my track, I'm coming round to your house.
Exactly. Just go stream.
And
it's
Mike
so
will come with me.
Exactly.
Mike's coming with me.
I will. And I don't want to have to mess with
you. You don't want the two of us knocking at your door.
No.
Right?
No. No good could come of that. I can
definitely
assure you.
Definitely not.
No.
Yeah, it won't be good.
I would almost like that. That'd be a great
promotional
tool to go. Dark
shades on. Hey?
See? Oh, yeah. It's intimidating. I don't have mine.
I might make a video on TikTok saying a lot of people have been asking me why I wear dark shades, and now I'm going to tell you why, because these are intimidating, and if I take these and look at you like this, you're going to be scared.
Exactly.
So therefore, get over to Spotify now, stream my track, and there won't be any further trouble.
Exactly. I think they will.
Well, I'll make a video like that.
Oh, we should have. Yes, should I record? I should record something like that. I should be recording all this, shouldn't I?
Oh, I thought you were recording.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Oh!
Well, I'm recording everything. I'm not video recording.
Oh, yeah, if we do a quick video clip, because then
I'm going.
If you send it over to me, then I'll put it on TikTok.
We got it. Well, we can come. We'll do that. We'll do what we just did, kind of, because that was a good thing. And it's funny, because what I was going to say is talking about around the world. That's kind of the trade-off. You got, like if you were in, I don't even know. I'll say, let's say, what's a city in England?
London.
That's a pretty big city. What about Yorkshire? Yeah.
Well, I live in a borough called Harrow. And I live in... an area called Hatch End, which is near Pinner.
Oh, yeah, so. Perfect example. So, if you had that where you, in the old days, like the Beatles. The Beatles had Liverpool. They got that area. Yeah. But nowadays, if the Beatles were 20-something-year-old guys, they'd have Malaysia and America.
Oh, they'd have the whole world.
The whole world. Yeah. So it's a good thing. And you got that. So, well, I mean, you've got that.
Yeah, well, so there's some benefits to online stuff. There's some disadvantages as well. The advantages are that artists like myself, they get known around the world. So like I said to you earlier, you know, I'm getting sales in Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore, America. America's my biggest market. USA, so USA, Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand. But then there's these other countries that I've never heard of before, some really small ones. And then the other day also, I was quite surprised I saw like thousands of sales coming in from Germany and Finland as well. So I was really surprised. But a lot of people, they ask me why I wear these dark shades.
Yeah, why do you wear those dark shades?
Well, the main reason is because if I go up to the camera like that, I'm quite intimidating.
Exactly.
And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to scare people into buying my tracks. So Mike's viewers, or anyone maybe on TikTok now, if you're looking at my shades feeling intimidated, I won't do anything as long as you go and stream my new songs on Spotify now. Otherwise, Mike and I, we're going to come round to your house and we'll sort you out.
Exactly.
Got it?
Yeah.
We'll sort you out. You don't want us to come
into
your house because you didn't stream mine a new record.
Exactly.
Get streaming.
Yeah. See, I thought that world was behind me, but I guess
we're intimidating. You don't want us to come in there.
Yeah. Well, see, that's just it. Where do people, what's the best place to stream at? And what do you,
Well,
Spotify's
I'd say Spotify, I'm always trying to get people to go down to Spotify, Apple Music, you know, all the usual, Amazon.
Spotify is just the big one, isn't it?
Yeah, Spotify's the number one music hub, as I call it. But, you know, anywhere that sells music. I even discovered the other day, Alien has just come out in Russia. I was really surprised at that because... I used to have a massive fan base in Russia, and I know that for a fact because I went there twice, and they had bootleg copies of my records. There was a record that I had out called I Don't Care, and another one called In This House. And on the street, people were selling bootleg copies. It was quite exciting seeing it, but also I was thinking, hang on a minute, they're ripping my song off and I'm not getting paid. Anyway, because of the war, all Western music was pulled from Russia, but there is a store that's actually selling, I don't know if they've got borrowed time, but they've definitely got Alien and all my old catalogue, my back catalogue, they've got on sale.
Wow.
I think it's called Yandex Russia. So I don't know whether they're actually situated in Russia or if they're a Russian company in another country. That could be possible. But it's got .russia.ru as their web domain, so they must be in Russia. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
That is.
All your listeners, they can stream pretty much anywhere.
My worshippers. Yeah, exactly.
And if they don't come and stream, Mike and me,
exactly,
we're coming to see you.
We'll come and get you.
That's why the dark blast. I'm wearing these to scare you.
Yeah. Even in Russia, we might have to go straight.
Well, also, see, you're not going to get away with it, Mike, because you haven't got a disguise on me.
Well,
I can do this.
I have a silly wig somewhere.
I'm coming to your ass.
Ooh.
Stream your songs now.
There we go.
Stream it now.
Yeah.
Or you get slapped.
I
can do that.
I didn't know we were supposed to bring costume.
Trouble.
Yeah. Well, trouble. I can bring trouble. I bring trouble wherever I go.
Well, I know you're trouble, and I'm definitely... Me, I'm always in trouble.
Oh, yeah?
Together, it's double trouble.
Double trouble.
Do you like that one?
I like that. It
double
is a good
trouble.
One. Definitely.
That's a good note to finish your show on.
I think it's a great job.
Double trouble.
Exactly. Well, this has been, this is super fun. This is super fun. We're going to do double trouble
as
again.
As always.
I love that. We're going to do that
one. I'll be coming
back
for a third.
We'll do this
a
again.
Third time. I'm not going to die.
No, we will. I'm excited. This is exciting. This is great. This is great. This is like, this is great. Yes.
It's fun.
Yes, exactly. So, let's do that. We will, let's conclude. Let's talk about...
I shall return.
Make sure, yes. But make sure before we get going.
And if I do die on you, I'll be releasing records from the grave anyway,
exactly.
So don't worry.
Well, hey, you never know. I might be, I was in a plane the other day, and they said, this is the pilot's first flight ever. And, it started to get crazy, and I thought, oh, this is it. But so it's lucky I might have missed it. But no, we won't. We're going to do the next one. We'll do it in a couple months. And
And it was great fun.
It was great fun. And everybody, I'm going to put it in the description, and we're going to listen to it on the show. And
go and stream from Spotify.
Yeah, if you can avoid it.
Stream Gaz Reynolds, all my new songs, and
exactly.
All my old ones.
What you can
Spotify.
Do is this. Here's what you want to do. Hook your Spotify up to your cassette player. Record the song on cassette. Then just listen to it on cassette and mail you a buck every time you listen to it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That would never work, though.
But anyway, Mike and I are coming to your house if you haven't streamed.
Yeah.
We've got ways of finding out if the listeners have been streaming or not, haven't
we, Mike? Exactly, exactly. It's for your own good.
What
We're just doing this to help you. Help you.
We'll be back soon.
We'll be back soon. All right.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.